Hi there, and welcome to the surface of the sun. Actually, I'm sorry, that was uncalled for. I'm sure the sun is much cooler than it is here in the valley this week, because it feels that way. And welcome, by the way, to the Insert Clever and Witty Name Here podcast. My name is Mike, and a lot of things I want to get to today. I want to talk about Shohei Ohtani and something that Stephen A. Smith put his foot in his mouth about to get things started. Also got to talk about Britney Spears. And my daughter, Alessandra, has a decision to make between a new addition to our family, no, not a baby, but a dog, or a weekend trip to the happiest place on earth. So while you ponder what you would decide if you were a nine-year-old girl, let me just explain a couple things as we get things started. It's been a while since I mentioned this, so I feel kind of the need to do this every month or so. This is not like your typical podcasts. Obviously, you haven't heard any big intros, any produced opens. I don't do that. My name is Mike. If you happen to listen to me most mornings on the new My 97.5 here in Visalia, California, you know that I have all the bells and whistles and sound effects with My Big Three and The Dirt and Walking on Sunshine, all the radio entrapments, if you will. Again, most mornings when you listen. And I appreciate the fact that you do. But with this particular format, I get away from all of those. I like these to be as raw as possible, as real as possible. And you know, the past few weeks, it hasn't gotten much more raw than talking about the death of my dad. And for those who have reached out, especially with last week's podcast, as difficult as that was, telling you everything that I was going through in the moment, as well as everything that led up to that moment last week, I thank you. And you can reach out to me anytime. I'm always accessible. I check my email all the time. Best way to reach me is on email, Mike Pesto, MikePesto, all one word, at me.com. And I will be more than happy to talk about anything you want to talk about, whether it's something I get wrong with these podcasts or something you want me to bring up with these podcasts. Again, this is real. This is raw. This is how I feel about things. Now, some of these things I do talk about on the air, as you know. In fact, most of the things. But I talk for 90 seconds, 2 minutes, 2.5 minutes at the most, typically. Unless I'm talking with someone like James Ward from the Visalia Times Delta or any other guests that I have on. Those conversations will sometimes last a little longer. But when it's just me, it's 2 minutes at a clip, me. With this, I love this format in that I keep these podcasts to 45 minutes, and I keep them at 45 minutes because I know there are other podcasts out there that you love and that you're not going to give up. So you know when you come here, it's 45 minutes, take in as much or as little as you like, and then check out somebody else's. The more you check out, the better, because maybe you'll hear something in someone else's that'll make you want to double back and listen to this one. So for whatever amount of time you can check these out on a weekly basis, whether it's on Apple Podcasts or Google or wherever you check out podcasts. The forever home for these will be Pod-O-Matic, so that's the main site, and I make sure I distribute them to all the other places that have them. But if there's anything you want me to talk about, again, MikePesto at me.com is the email address, and I'm an open book. If there's anything you want me to dive into that I haven't to this point, whether it's something personal, something from my past, something that you just want to get my two cents on that someone else you know has been talking about it, by all means. And again, I've got some stuff this week I want to get into. First, out of the gate, and this ties in perfectly with what's going on tonight. Tonight, Major League Baseball games are off. The Home Run Derby is going on. Major League Baseball Home Run Derby has been the staple, even more watched than the actual All-Star game for years now. And many will be watching specifically to check out one player, Shohei Ohtani. He's a Japanese-born player that was signed by the Anaheim Angels a few years back and leading the majors this year with 33 home runs. Now, what is intriguing with him, if you don't know, he is also a pitcher, a better than average pitcher. He could throw the ball more than 100 miles per hour, and he certainly hits the ball more than 100 miles per hour. He has an ERA of 3.49, which in this day and age is pretty darn good for a starting pitcher. So there are a couple games where he's thrown a ball more than 100 miles per hour, hit the ball more than 100 miles per hour, and it's gone more than 400 feet, which in basically every Major League Baseball ballpark, that's going to be a home run. And he's hit 33 of them so far this year. So he is going to be the featured player in the Home Run Derby tonight, as well as one of the pitchers. He may even be the first out-of-the-gate starting pitcher for the American League in the actual All-Star game. I mention him very specifically right out the gate because of something that one of ESPN's talking heads said recently about him. With the perception with Stephen A. Smith, the person who said what he said about Shohei Ohtani, thinking that Major League Baseball has a problem with him being the face of Major League Baseball right now. Now, I'm not willing to go as far as some and say that what Stephen A. Smith said is racist. In fact, I want you to listen to it for yourself. If you haven't heard it, you've only heard about what he said. This is what Stephen A. Smith actually said.
When I look at Ohtani, he is big time. Babe Ruth, 33 home runs, batting 279. Got a 4-1 record with a 379 ERA as a pitcher. This brother is special. Make no mistake about it. But the fact that you got a foreign player that doesn't speak English, that needs an interpreter, believe it or not, I think contributes to harming the game to some degree when that's your box office appeal. It needs to be somebody like Bryce Harper, Mike Trout, those guys.
All right, I'm rethinking whether I should make this a racial argument or not, because he's actually saying that you can't have, okay, I don't want to put words in his mouth, that you shouldn't have, that would be difficult to have, a Japanese-born player who does not publicly speak English. For all we know, he does. Let's be clear about this. And I bring this up for one very specific reason. Because Yu Darvish used to pitch for the Chicago Cubs, a team that I love, now pitches for the San Diego Padres. For the longest time, when he first came to America and was highly touted, was worth every penny that he made when he first signed, had an interpreter. With all the press conferences, all the press junkets that he did, everything. He always spoke through an interpreter. He was in Chicago for a few years and then stopped using the interpreter in some settings. Every once in a while, he will still, well, used to still. I haven't followed him much lately since he went to San Diego. Traitor. He went where the money went. And actually, the team traded him. So if anyone's the traitor, it's the Cubs because they literally traded him. I don't know if he has one now. He may in certain situations, but when he went to Chicago, he stopped using them for the most part. Ohtani has only been in America now for what, 2-3 years at the most. He's still getting acclimated. He doesn't want to put his foot in his mouth. I get it. I don't fault him in the least, but the fact that Stephen A. Smith not only went so far as to say that doesn't think that Shohei Ohtani can be, should be, the face of Major League Baseball right now, and I'm sorry, he is, but then took it to the next level and said that he's certainly not the likes of a Bryce Harper or a Mike Trout. First of all, Bryce Harper is having a terrible year by Bryce Harper standards. Not hitting the ball out of the park anywhere near as often, certainly not hitting with a decent enough batting average to be even a consideration for National League MVP. Whereas Shohei Ohtani, they don't have the award, but if there was an MVP of Major League Baseball, National League, and American League, he's head and shoulders above everybody else right now. He is the face of Major League Baseball right now, whether you want to admit it, whether you like it or not. And then he also threw out Mike Trout. Mike Trout is on the same team as Shohei Ohtani. And I'm sorry, Mike, this year, Shohei Ohtani is the best player on the team. He's the best player in the American League. He's the best player in Major League Baseball. And the fact that he needs an interpreter, or at least feels more comfortable having an interpreter at press conferences, at press junkets, will have one at the Home Run Derby tonight, at the All-Star game later this week, that means nothing, All right, so Stephen A. Smith goes on.
At this moment in time, that's not the case. Baseball was dying in the 90s. What saved it? It was the home run competition between Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa. Now, obviously, Sammy Sosa, we learned later during his testimony on Capitol Hill that suddenly he needed an interpreter. You know, baseball being very, very good to him. You know what I'm saying? That wasn't enough. He needed an interpreter to speak for him when he was on Capitol Hill. Certainly didn't need that when he was smacking those home runs. But Mark McGwire basically helped save baseball because you had a dude that you could put on Wheaties boxes, all right, that could ingratiate himself with the younger generations out there and had America transfixed on the sport.
All right, I'm going to stop him right there again. So now he's going back to the home run race several years ago between Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa, a race that was won by Mark McGwire. But Sammy Sosa is from the Dominican Republic. Speaks with a very, very rich accent. In fact, he did some TV commercial work in and around Chicago. Again, I'm a big fan of the Cubs, so I was a big fan of Sammy Sosa when he was on the team. Don't like the way the things ended when Sammy Sosa stormed out of the dugout at one point while the season was still going on and really never came back, but you know, that's another story for another podcast. Did play years after that, but at that point, he had passed his prime. But that season, if you remember, it was a race with Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa. And Sammy Sosa and Mark McGwire, who was going to end the season with the most home runs? And then the record was shattered a few years later by Barry Bonds. But that's what got baseball being talked about once again. It's, I don't know if you remember the promos with Tom Glavin and Maddox. I can't remember his first name. And Greg Maddux, when they were both on the Atlanta Braves, and they're both pitchers, and they were taking batting practice and trying to hit home runs, which pitchers typically don't do, unless your name is Shohei Ohtani. And the whole gist of the promo was, chicks dig the long ball. All right, not exactly politically correct in 2021, but this was a few years ago. But it's true. That's what brought people back to the game, is that home run derby, that race that was going on basically from the All-Star break on with Sammy Sosa, Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa, and again, ultimately won by Mark McGwire. But it was that race, and for him to make it more about Mark McGwire because Mark McGwire was, as he said, you could put on a Wheaties box. When someone is on a Wheaties box, can you tell what their first language is? So, again, I'm trying to give Stephen A. Smith the benefit of the doubt in saying that his argument was not racial, but, man, it's really difficult. So let's wrap this up.
Of Major League Baseball. What I'm saying to you is that's not the case. That's all I mean by that. I'm not taking anything away from Ohtani. I know what he's doing on the field. I know it's nothing short of spectacular. And I understand that baseball is an international sport itself in terms of participation. But when you talk about an audience gravitating to the tube or to the ballpark to actually watch you, okay, I don't think it helps that the number one face is a dude that needs an interpreter, so you can...
All right, okay, that was the end of it. He is so freaking wrong on this. You go to the ballpark, you don't hear a single player saying anything. You don't know if they speak Spanish, Dutch, Hungarian, Martian. Doesn't matter. It doesn't freaking matter what language they speak, whether they're comfortable with having an interpreter in the press conference afterwards. I'm there to watch a baseball game. I don't know about Stephen A. Smith. You know, maybe he's more concerned about who he's going to get a chance to interview after the game. So I'm trying with every fiber of my being to give the man the benefit of the doubt to say that it's not racial. And then he went on his own Twitter account and tried to clarify his thoughts just a little bit.
My segment on Ohtani this morning on First Take, people are misinterpreting what I'm saying. I'm not talking about the state of the game. Baseball itself. Baseball's a great game, a great sport. And some of the greatest players in the world are foreign players. Tatis comes to my mind. I love this brother, what he brings to the table. And Ohtani is the second coming of Babe Ruth, okay? That's not what I was trying to say. I'm talking about the marketability and the promotion of the sport is exactly what Sports Illustrated essentially alluded to in their article last month when they talked about 28% of the players in Major League Baseball are foreign players. A lot of them need translators. You know, Spanish, it could be Mandarin, Japanese, the list goes on and on and on. If you are a sport trying to ingratiate yourself with the American public the way Major League Baseball is, because of the problems that you've been having to deal with in terms of improving the attractiveness of the sport, it helps that if you spoke the English language. It doesn't mean anything more than that. Baseball is a great game, but baseball's audience is significantly older than the NBA, the NFL audience, et cetera, et cetera. That's what I was talking about. Nothing more. We're only talking about Otani because he's phenomenal. He's going to be in the home run derby, and he's got 33 home runs with a .279 batting average. Plus, he can pitch, and he's the second coming of Babe Ruth, practically. We know it's an international sport. We know that that's great. And baseball having a global appeal that it is, fine. But in the United States, all I was saying is that when you're a superstar, if you can speak the English language, then guess what? That's going to make it that much easier and less challenging to promote the sport. That's all I was saying about anybody. Later.
Yeah, later. All right. Again, it's hard to defend him. Again, that was directly from Stephen A. Smith on Twitter. I don't know if he's had similar issues. He mentioned Spanish-born players, whether it's from the Dominican. I shouldn't say Spanish-born, but Dominican players, anyone who speaks Spanish and maybe has a very difficult time speaking English understandably. Maybe he doesn't have a translator, but it speaks choppy English. There's several players that come to mind. Tatis, that he mentioned, who plays for the Padres, comes to mind. And Javi Baez, who plays for the Chicago Cubs, another player that very broken English. That's the way the sport is right now. That is the marketability of baseball. That's what Stephen A. Smith is missing. That Major League Baseball is drawing players from the Dominican Republic, from Japan, from the United States, from the entire world. That he's missing the forest for the trees. He's locked into one player and saying this one player is the downfall of Major League Baseball because he needs an interpreter, but again, isn't pointing out any Spanish-speaking players that need an interpreter or are difficult to understand. You could say the same thing, but he's not saying that. You know, I don't know for certain. I'm not going to put words in his mouth. If word of this gets back to him, Stephen A. Smith, by all means, reach out to me anytime, MikePesto@ME.com. But you're way off on this. You're way off on this. I'm not going to go as far as some, and I'm sure there are some that have already said it, that he's making this racial. In an era right now in the United States where, again, Asian Americans are being attacked every single day because of, I'll let you figure out the reasons why. But this doesn't help that argument, Stephen A. Smith. It really doesn't. And it does nothing, absolutely nothing, to take away from the beauty of what takes place on the field, between the lines, from foul line to foul line, with what he can do on the mound, with what he can do with a bat in his hand. You're just way off on this. And I hope word does get back to him. I would love to have him on and talk about it because he's missing the boat, and I don't think he gets what it's like to promote something as spectacular, as beautiful as Major League Baseball. And if he thinks that it can only be promoted with a white player with blonde hair that speaks fluent English and has the thesaurus memorized, then Stephen A. Smith, you need to find something else to do. All right, so I want to move on to Britney Spears, the conservatorship that is being talked about quite a bit. I haven't touched on this at all. But I want to today because of something that I read. This was in the New York Post, either this past weekend or this morning is when I saw it. I'll just read directly from the article, and I'll stop at the point at which I think we need to stop and talk and think. about what's going on with this. Britney Spears' conservator fires back at Jamie's claim she controls and battles stars. So here's the article, and again, and I'll just read up to a point. The war of the conservators is becoming toxic. See what they did there? They threw in the title of one of her songs. Britney Spears' personal conservator has ripped into the star's father, Jamie, for making it seem that she won't let him contact Britney to get involved in the conservatorship. Jody Montgomery's lawyer filed documents in court in Los Angeles Friday, slamming Jamie Spears for trying to make her the fall guy in the increasing explosive battle over Britney. It is ironic that Mr. Spears now wants the conservatorship to reflect her wishes, since it is no secret that Ms. Spears has wished her father out of her life for years. That was alleged in a document, according to TMZ. Here's where it gets fun. Montgomery also claimed in court papers that Jamie has spent more than $2 million of his daughter's money to defend himself in an attempt to remain conservator of her estate. Now, come on now. So, I'm no lawyer. I'll play one on this podcast. I don't know exactly how a conservatorship works. It's my understanding that you have to prove to a court that someone should not be responsible for their own money, that someone needs to watch over their finances. They can't be trusted. They're making bad decisions. And I believe this goes back to, you remember a few years back, this is 10 plus years ago or so now, I think, that the incidents with Britney going to clubs and not wearing panties, and it was talked about quite a bit at the time. First of all, let's be honest. I'm sure she wasn't the only. I'm sure she's still not the only. I mean, going commando is not against the law, last I checked, for men or women. Be that as it may, that was one of the things that came out with reports from TMZ and the like. Hey, Britney's in the club again. Wonder if she's wearing panties. It became a punchline with late-night TV talk show hosts. So there must have been something in relation to that with her money as well at the time that someone jumped in and said, ew, man, if she's not wearing panties in public, obviously something is wrong with the girl. So someone should jump in and let's have Dad watch over her finances for a while. Well, I found out, and I think we've all found out if you follow this case at all, that once you fall into a conservatorship situation, it is nearly impossible, if not impossible, depending on the state, to ever break free of that conservatorship. And that's the situation that Britney is now finding herself in, this long, legal, drawn-out battle that's been going on for years and is now just coming to light again recently because of the documentary that dropped a few months or so ago, saying that Britney needs to be set free, which I agree with. And to that point, I wanted to look this up, and I did, and the one most egregious one is not on here. I looked up 9 very expensive and weird things celebrities purchased. Now, I don't believe any one of these 9 celebrities, as a result of these purchases, have had conservatorships slapped upon them. But some of these are absolutely insane, and I'll give you the entire list, all 9. Number 9 on the list, Beyonce's daughter has a diamond Barbie. With a net worth of $500 million, Beyonce can easily buy her daughter, Blue Ivy, absolutely anything her little heart desires. Beyonce figured a Barbie doll would be a great gift, then proceeded to splurge $85,000 on a diamond-encrusted one. Declares that this customized Barbie had 160 diamond gems on top of the white gold accents. So $85,000 spent on a diamond-encrusted Barbie was not enough to land Beyonce in a conservatorship. How about this one? Celine Dion's private water park. When Celine Dion started raking in the bucks from her Caesar's Palace concert, she opted to do some elaborate renovations on her exterior grounds of the mansion she had in Florida. She spent an undisclosed amount of money to have an entire water park built on her estate. Not one for the public, but for friends and family and We're talking 20,000 square feet of water park, slides, pools, professionally installed water park activities. All right, so that's number 8 on the list. Gets us down to, let's see, number 7. You knew she had to be on the list. Paris Hilton's doghouses. It's no secret that celebrities love their pets and enjoy treating them to a luxurious lifestyle. However, it may be possible that Paris Hilton has taken her obsession of her doghouses to the next level. She has built an entire house for her dogs that sits on her estate and is estimated to be worth well over... Now, again, keep in mind, this is a dog house, literally a dog house, house for dogs, $325,000. We'll see if she has something else on this list. Number 6, Donald Trump's gold-plated private jet. Everyone knows that Donald Trump likes nice things and lives very lavishly, and it comes as no surprise that he owns a private jet. There's just one detail that most fans aren't aware of. Ranker reports that the jet is 24-karat gold-plated, seatbelts, buckles, and detailing. The plane also includes a 57-inch TV and multiplex theater system, a master bedroom with gold silk-lined walls and a shower, and a sink plated in 24-karat gold. Again, no one has told our former president that he needs to stop spending his money. Again, it's his money. And keep in mind, it's Britney's money, too. Number 5 on the list, Leonardo DiCaprio's dinosaur skull. This one I had not heard of. Leonardo DiCaprio is one of Hollywood's biggest names and most recognizable faces. With a successful career and net worth of $260 million, most people would expect that he lives in the lap of luxury and enjoys the finer things in life. What you may not know is that he lives with a dinosaur skull in his home. He purchased this 67-million-year-old fossil for $276,000 simply to keep on display. If Britney had done that... Number 4, Victoria Beckham's iPhone is made of gold. Victoria Beckham has been admired for her flair for fashion and wouldn't dare be seen with a phone that doesn't adequately reflect her image. Her iPhone has been custom designed to include 150 grams of 24-karat gold and was purchased for $33,000. I don't know why that one is as high on the list when you're talking about a dinosaur skull for $276,000 and a doghouse for well over $300,000. But again, I didn't put together the list. I'm just reading it for you. Tom Hanks, as you may know, has a collection of vintage typewriters. It's a bit of a hobby of his. With a net worth of $400 million, his fans presume his house is full of expensive, ornate design furnishings and most lavish items that one can buy. The truth is, he has a soft spot for vintage typewriters and opts to invest his money in owning a collection of them. Again, a little odd. Doesn't say how much he's spent on those typewriters, but again, it's his money to do with whatever he wants as long as he's not hurting anybody with it. And I'm sure whoever sells typewriters, very happy that Tom Hanks has the hobby that he does. Amanda Siegfried adores her dead animals. All right. Most people would scoff at the idea of having dead animals in their home, but Amanda Siegfried has an obsession with taxidermy. For those who are unfamiliar, this is the process of preserving a dead animal, then stuffing them and keeping them on display. She has a lot of taxidermy on display at her home and lives surrounded by the art, in quotes, of dead animals. Again, doesn't say how much she spends on them, but again, that's her thing. That's what she does. And then number 1 on the list, Mike Tyson's tub. Mike Tyson has made millions and then proceeded to go bankrupt, spending millions, more than he actually ever earned. And last I checked in doing that, this is my own commentary, not what I'm reading from the article, no one slapped a conservatorship on him when he did that, earned it and spent it, because again, it was his money. Reading on from the article, he's been known to own tigers and other very bizarre, super expensive things, one of them being a $2 million bathtub made of 24-karat gold, which now highlights his bathroom. Then there was the story from a few years ago when Michael Jackson was still with us that he did everything he could to buy the remains of the Elephant Man. There's that story and so many others, to say nothing of the celebrities that go to Las Vegas, Michael Jordan being one of them. Ben Affleck is another one that goes to Vegas and spends millions upon millions upon millions of dollars at high-limit tables. And in a lot of cases, walks away with nothing. But yet, we want to sweat Britney Spears. I just did a whole list of 9 different celebrities who have spent lots of money on some bizarre things. I don't know if it's still there. Excuse me. But in the MGM Grand in Las Vegas, they actually had a store right near the front of one of the main entrances that just had the strangest stuff. You would have thought that Ripley's, believe it or not, stocked the store with all sorts of things. And I think one of the reasons they did is it was reported at one point, and I don't know if this was ever true or not, that Michael Jackson used to stay at that hotel when he was in Las Vegas. And he would literally walk through at times and just point to things. I want that. I want that. I want... And the store would be stocked, and within an hour, they would have to get on the phone and replenish about half their supply because he just liked out-of-the-ordinary things. And no one ever batted an eye about that. There were plenty of other things that they batted their eye over with Michael Jackson. But still, they didn't bat an eye because it was his money. Now, I don't know what the catalyst was, why the court at the time back in the day granted the conservatorship against Britney Spears. Maybe, again, I know nothing about it. Maybe at the time she realized she was in a bit of a downward spiral and didn't quite understand what she was getting herself into and maybe advocated for it, saying, listen, yeah, I am a little out of control right now. I got some things I got to work on with me. So for the time being, I don't want to think about my money. Dad, you go ahead and take care of that, and we'll revisit this at some point, not realizing, again, how difficult it was going to be years later to be thought of as an adult when it comes to your own money once again. But here we are, and that's the situation that she is in. So, again, I'm not sure what more there is to say on it in regard to why it hasn't been granted to this point yet. It needs to be. It just needs to be. I have the conversation with my wife every once in a while regarding, now we have different perceptions just in how we were raised. My in-laws come from a background of it is important. It is very important that when you pass, you leave something for the next generation. That is just what you're supposed to do, whether it be real estate, whether it be money, whether it be something to help your kids and your grandkids deal with your loss a little more, as though money is going to help. But that's fine. I don't subscribe to that way of thinking, but I understand that mindset. I truly do. But I don't feel the same way. You know, my dad passed, and my mom is still with us, very much with us. I can't see her going anytime soon. Then again, I didn't see my dad passing when he did either. But be that as it may, I'm not expecting a dime to be left to my sister or I when they pass. My mom has her finances. She handles them on her own. She does not need a conservatorship. So there's no sense in even contacting Britney's lawyers because she's fine. It's her money that she made with my dad when they owned their own business and in working all the years that they did and all the investments that they made. And I don't think they own any property. They used to, but they've even sold that now so that they can... Their whole plan was once they retired, they wanted to enjoy every second of their lives together and travel, which they did. They had a major trip to Italy, which they went on, and they've been to other places as well. They had a big trip planned to Central America just as COVID-19 hit, they had to scrap those, unfortunately. And obviously with my dad passing, that'll never happen now. And my mom has expressed some resistance to traveling to that extent. They still own two timeshares, one in 29 Palms and the other one in South Lake Tahoe. And my mom will enjoy those for a week at a time. And with some of the trading availabilities that they have, she could go anywhere that she wants to that will take up that week and give her a week somewhere else. And she'll do that when she's comfortable doing that again. And I've talked with my sister, and the plan is every other year, our family will take my mom somewhere on a big trip, and then the next year, my sister will take my mom on a trip, and we'll just keep doing that. That's what we did when my grandfather passed away, my mom's dad. And we always made sure that whenever we went on family trips, we would take grandma with us, or at least say, hey, we're going to do this trip. Would you like to come with us? We went to Walt Disney World and then spent a few days in the Florida Keys, and grandma was with us. A while back, my folks took my grandma on a cruise to Alaska, and they saw the glaciers, and it was one of the best trips they ever took. Because, again, it was not about leaving anything for the next generation, for kids or grandkids. It was about enjoying life because it's your life, and enjoy it. And the last thing you would want is someone jumping in and saying what you can and you can't spend your money on, providing, again, that you're not hurting anyone with your purchases. And if you're buying dinosaur skulls or tubs that cost millions of dollars, so what? They're worse things you'd be spending your money on. All right, so one last thing I want to hit on. I'm going to spend some time talking about this tomorrow morning on my 97.5. In fact, I think I'm going to have my daughter actually call in. Speaking of Disney, Disneyland is now open, full capacity, no mask mandates unless you have not been vaccinated. We are planning to be there at the end of the month, and I say that with a big question mark on it because I love my wife, I really do, but she is a dog with a bone at times. When she wants something, she wants it now. The thing is, my wife doesn't do our finances. She did at one point, and then she cried for about a week, realizing what our finances were, and she said, I can't do this. I don't know how you can do it, knowing how much we're taking in compared to how much is going out, and here, you take the ball and run with it. And I said, okay, fine. So I play accountant almost every single day. We have this drawer that my wife will put receipts in, and I will put receipts in, and then once a day, or at least every other day, I'll go through them and balance the checkbook and make sure everything's good. And we've got other expenses. Our son has braces now, so that's a monthly automatic debit that has to come out of the account, one of our credit cards, actually. We have a school trip to Washington, D.C. that we are paying for now, and not sure where that money is going to come from, but that's also going on the credit card, which we try to have paid off after every month. And then we have been saving up for this trip to Disneyland. The trip, by the way, was for my daughter's 8th birthday. She turned 8 November, that's my birthday, February of last year. She's 9 now, but February of last year, this 3rd of February, actually, we asked her beforehand. So we could do one of two things. We could give you a present. You can open it like everybody else's present on your birthday. Or we could go to Disneyland when things warm up a little bit. And without batting an eye, Disneyland. I want to go to Disneyland. Forget the present. I'm going to get enough presents from other people. I want to go to Disneyland. I was okay, but we're not going to go now because it's February. Let's wait till it gets a little warmer. We could go on Grizzly River Run, Splash Mountain, the whole deal. So then we waited, and then COVID happened. So we obviously didn't go last year. We're going to go this year earlier, and then we found out that Avengers Campus was coming, so we wanted to wait until Avengers Campus opened. So booked it, had it set, and then everything started happening with my dad. So being the happiest place on earth, knowing I was not going to be very happy being there, and my mind, heart, soul, every part of my being, aside from my physical body, was going to be bedside with my dad. I said, we can't go. We just, we can. My wife agreed. And my kids did as well once we explained how bad things were with their papa. So we postponed the trip. So my dad, by the way, in case you're curious, the services for him are going to be held at St. Rose Church in Paso Robles on the 23rd of this month at 2 p.m. If you want to come by and pay your respects, I would be honored. So again, St. Rose Church, Paso Robles, the 23rd at 2 p.m. We don't have all the arrangements nailed down yet, but there'll be a service for him, and then there'll be something else afterwards. That's the part that we're working on. But the service is absolutely going to happen at St. Rose Church at 2 o'clock on that day. So we will be then going, maybe, to the happiest place on earth the following weekend. I say maybe because, and this gets me back to my wife and the dog with the bone. Not that my wife is a dog, in case she's listening. But my wife wants a dog. We have two already. We have Missy and we have Riley. Well, Missy is older. She's a little younger than Howie, who was our Puggle, who passed away earlier this year. It's not been a good year for me with the death of one of the first dogs that we ever owned. We didn't own. We adopted. You don't own a living creature. I don't look at it that way. So we got Missy and Howie at the same time before we had kids. So we lost Howie earlier this year and obviously lost my dad a week or so ago now. So not been a good 2021 for me. 2020 was better than 2021, and we know how 2020 was, so that should tell you something. So trip set, ready to go, and then my wife gets that bone of wanting a dog because she saw a poodle mix, and she wants something that doesn't shed. And this dog is at the Tulare shelter. So she saw him, fell in love with him, sight unseen, because we haven't seen the dog yet. So all last night, Sunday night, she was showing me pictures and showing them to me and then texting them to me and then talking loud enough, trying to get me excited about the prospect of getting the dog and the kids on board with the idea too. And I said, you don't do our finances. We're spending a lot of money on this trip. And granted, getting the dog isn't that expensive. It's really not, but it is the straw that's going to break the camel's back. You want to put more money in our house, and you want clothes, and you want all these other things, which I get, but at some point, the answer has to be no. So I said, either it's going to be the trip to Disneyland for all four of us, or the dog. Now, financially speaking, I hope we decide on the dog, because the dog is $100, give or take. The trip is much, much more expensive than that. So that option has been floated to my daughter. So she has until tomorrow morning to decide if she wants a trip for four to the happiest place on earth for a weekend. I'm going to take off the Friday before that weekend, so we'll actually be at the park Friday and Saturday and then spend time with family in the area on Sunday. But get down there Thursday, have a great time, enjoy it, and then that will be the first big family trip that we take in 2 years because of COVID last year. Or we flush all of that, I save a whole lot of money, and we get the dog instead. But then we don't have a family trip this year, and that is her present. There'll be no other talks of going to Disneyland this year. We are not going to Disneyland this year. So with that in mind, what do you think? To put yourself in the body, in the mind of a 9-year-old who has not been to any Disney anything since 2019. We took a major trip to Walt Disney World in Orlando, Florida, which was a blast, but have not been there since 2019, 2021 now. Not that long a time. There's some that have gone much longer without going. But you know, I wouldn't call us a Disney family, but yeah, we're a Disney family. We're pretty into the experience of it all. So with that in mind, if you're a dog lover and you love the happiest place on earth, if you are a 9-year-old girl, what would you decide you want? Keeping in mind there are two dogs in the house already. You've got Missy, who's a little older. You have Riley, who is still our puppy, who was literally a street rescue. And this would be adding to the mix of dogs, although this one would be her dog. Or would you prefer a trip to Disneyland, California Adventure, weekend stay, 2-day park hoppers? I don't know what she's going to pick. We will find out tomorrow morning. If you want to listen in to hear what she has to say, it's my975fm.com. If you want to listen online, we've got a mobile app. Of course, if you're in the South Valley, you can listen on my975 right on the radio and take a listen that way. I appreciate you hanging out. Stephen A. Smith again. It's out there. If you want to get in touch with me, Mike Pesto, MikePesto at my975fm.com. I'll tell you why you are so wrong when it comes to Shohei Ohtani. And then anyone who wants to talk with me about Britney Spears, you can email me there too. Hope you have a great week, and we will do this again 1 week from now.